All right. Once again, welcome. My name is Paul Letvin, one of two pastors here at Submerged Church. Just want to extend a warm welcome to all of you again, especially if this is your first time with us. Today, I'm continuing a series on what must take place out of the book of Revelation. Is in his glorified state, ready to judge. Chapters 2 and 3 contain the things which are the presence. It could be considered the church age from the birth of the church in Acts to the present. What is written to the early church in the seven churches contains great wisdom that we can apply in our lives today, which is why about 3 years ago I gave a sermon series on the seven churches. So you might want to check that out if you're interested. They just came out with a movie on the seven churches, which I donated to the Revelation Media people, so I should be getting my DVD copy in November. And I think Janine said she was willing to host a watch party. So if anyone's interested in that, it's going to be a 2.5-hour, pretty much a documentary on the seven churches. And from the previews I saw, they have beautiful cinematography of on-site location of these churches in Thessalonica, Ephesus, etc. So if you're interested in that, let me know. Watch for it in your weekly updates, because there will probably be information there. Anyway, chapters 4 through 22 of the book of Revelation contain the things which must take place, the future. So they haven't happened yet. God will restore his people Israel and put an end to sin and set up his kingdom here on earth. I'm just going to pray one more time that the Lord blesses this time. Father, we humble ourselves before you. Pray that you would show your power in this place right here, Father. Just help us to be attentive. Help us to listen to what you would have to say to each of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And actually, I want take a good look at this picture up here. And I have to tell you, if you choose to do a search engine search, which I would promote using DuckDuckGo, not Google, but you can choose for yourself. Anyway, if you search for the four horsemen or the four horsemen of the apocalypse, you will come across some very frightening images. In my opinion, this was one of the more tame images of the four horsemen that I came across. But the thing I liked about this one that was unique, pretty different from a lot of the other ones that I found, is that they have put the four horsemen, as you can see, kind of in modern day times. When you look in the background, the buildings are crumbling. Here we see on the third horseman, see all the money, so we'll get to that. That's like inflation. The U.S. dollar is going to collapse, just like most other currencies. There will be a one-world currency eventually. And then, you know, we've got the gravestones there, of course. So I thought it was a pretty good depiction. The only thing that it's lacking, and we'll see that, is I don't see the first horseman holding a bow. Otherwise, it's fairly accurate in lining up with Scripture. So this is the full picture. Of course, we'll see a portion of that on all the other slides. So that being said, the big idea today, the Lamb limits authority. The Lamb limits authority. So if you remember anything from today, this is one of the big ideas. The Lamb limits authority. And I take great comfort in that, because there are people in authority today around the world and in this country who I don't believe should be in authority, and yet God has allowed them to be in authority, and he is limiting their authority. It's really the Lamb who's in true control of everything. So I find comfort in that. Here's some notes from chapter 1. I know a lot of people didn't hear my first two messages here. So a quick reminder, the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the only book of the Bible that has been explicitly mandated by Jesus himself to be written and shared. And we see that here in Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. Of course, all scripture is breathed out by God, 2 Timothy 3:16. But it's interesting that this particular book in the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the only book in the Bible that explicitly says that. Revelation is also the only book of the Bible that contains a promise of blessing to those who read, hear, and keep it. Revelation 1, verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. So we're just going to read the book of Revelation out loud and be blessed. Who wants to be blessed? Well, guess what? by you hearing these verses read out loud today, you will be blessed. That's a promise that we've been given here. So this further promotes the truth that although what was revealed to John was written in a book to the seven churches, it was also written to us, his modern-day saints. So we need to remember that. Okay, now we're going to do a quick review of chapters 4 and 5. So this is what I spoke on the first Sunday in October and then the second Sunday of October. And these images will tell you a lot of what we talked about. So the first scene on top there is in heaven. This is where John is given a vision of the glory of God. The Lord frequently gave a vision of his glory to his prophets before permitting them to foretell the future. Isaiah 6 is an example of that, as well as Ezekiel chapter 1. John is given a vision of God before he learns the judgments which will be poured out on the earth. Without this vision or revelation of who God is and his holiness and splendor and glory and worthiness, John would have been overwhelmed by the judgment that he was about to see coming upon this earth, starting in chapter 6, which is what we're talking about today. But after John sees what takes place in heaven in chapters 4 and 5, he's at peace. He's at peace. He's convinced that God is in complete control. Whereas chapter 4 focuses mainly on the holiness of God, the one seated at the throne, and his worthiness, chapter 5 shifts the focus to the scroll and the one worthy of opening it, who is the Lamb who was slain. As we can see here, we can see that wound. So it's a Lamb who was slain, but now he's alive. He's standing. So that's an image of Jesus. So Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So we've also got that lion in the back there. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, was found worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. The four living creatures and the 24 elders worship the Lamb with a new song. Then they are joined by a multitude of angels, and you can kind of see that in the background there. This is the best that we can even do. I mean, what we see here is just a fraction of how glorious this would be to see this. So we see all these angels singing even louder another song to the Lamb, and then every creature in existence joins in the worship in a crescendo to a third song to the one on the throne and to the Lamb. And then the finale is an amen from the four living creatures with the elders worshiping, setting the scene for the Lamb to exercise his authority over the seals. So that's a recap of what you've missed from Revelation 4 and Revelation 5. And I think it's important that we keep that in our minds, because what we're going to talk about today, it's like, oh my goodness, this is terrible. But when we see this, it's like, okay, God is holy, he's worthy, he's righteous, he is just. And we see all of that. You know, the Lamb who died for us, he made that sacrifice, he proved his love for us by dying on the cross. And now it's time to execute justice on the earth. And he has every right to do that. Okay, so after that recap, buckle up, let's get into this. It's kind of interesting how didn't originally plan for it to happen this way, but of course we know Halloween is only a week away, and now we're talking about some pretty intense, scary stuff here. And before I forget, because Pastor Bob was supposed to preach last week, but then of course you guys know we did like an Acts 2:42 Sunday instead. We did some prayer, fellowship, etc. And he was going to preach this Sunday, but still very sick with COVID. He and Lila both are. So I very well could be preaching next Sunday as well. Bob was originally scheduled to preach next Sunday. If I do, we'll continue on with the second half of chapter 6 if Bob's well enough. Who knows? But and I did promise him we'd pray for them. Yeah, they're really not doing very well. I think they're on day 10 or 11 now fighting COVID, and so we'll just pray for them. Father, we just want to lift up Pastor Bob and his wife Lila. We just pray for healing, Lord. We know they're really struggling. I know they've taken measures to help fight this disease, and they're still struggling. So, Lord, we just pray for deliverance. We pray you'd show your mighty hand of healing on them and make them well, Lord. We just lift them up to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are the great healer. You're the great physician, and we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here we go. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. So we're gonna take each seal and horseman one at a time. So I'll read this verse passage again. Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. Now the Lamb, Jesus Christ, who is worthy, uses his authority to break open the first seal. And just a quick recap, you know, back in this time period, you know, people would have known, you know, that we use seals on documents that are very important. The fact that this scroll had seven seals on it indicates, like, wow, this is a very, very important, precious, valuable information. You know, seven is that complete number. You know, so it's a pretty big deal. So he breaks open the first seal, and now this signals the first living creature. Now another thing to keep in mind, which is interesting, the first living creature was like a lion. Okay, he had the face like a lion, the king or ruler of all beasts. Okay, that's what the first creature was like, and it's interesting that now we have someone coming out who seems to be a king or ruler of sorts. So you're going to see a little bit of a connection between the specific creature that is commanding come, and then which horseman comes out. Okay? So that lion is the king or ruler of all beasts. So, and remember, it's just like a lion. That's just the best that John could do to describe, you know, what he looked like. Okay, and now notice it says he cries out with a voice like thunder. And as we go through, none of the other creatures does it use that term with a voice like thunder. It's just this first one. And I believe that's because this thunderous voice could be indicating that a storm is coming, that God is revealing something, and his voice has been compared to thunder many times throughout Scripture, the voice of God. So that little extra phrase there with a voice like thunder, it's saying, you know, when we're outside in the summertime, we hear that thunder. It's like, oh, man, better batten down the hatches, better, you know, make sure all my chairs on my deck aren't going to be blown, because we know that storm is coming, right? So there's your warning. There's your warning. The voice says, come, or as many some translations say, come and see. That's how some of them are translated. It could also be translated, go forth, when they're saying come. So it's like, come, or come and get going, you know. And it's a command that's directed toward the rider on the white horse, and then subsequently to the other three horsemen as well. So each of them get this same command, to come or to go forth. Okay, now let's look at the next part in verse 2 here, which is still up there. Behold, a white horse. Now, this would have been a sight to behold, since true white, and I'm not a, what do you call them, an equinologist, somebody who studies horses. We have any animal people? What is it? Yeah, an equestrian. There, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, equestrian. What's it? Someone who knows a lot about horses, okay, would know that true white horses are rare. That they're rare. Like to have that true white without any splotches or, you know, grayish parts or anything. So they are symbolic of heroism, as the valiant knight always rides the white horse, right? So could this, now let's think about this. Could this rider be our Prince Charming, our knight in shining armor, Jesus Christ coming to rule? After all, Jesus comes out on a white horse in Revelation 19:11, right? When we look that up. However, as the description of this rider unfolds, we see that this is only someone trying to look like and imitate Jesus, a false Christ, perhaps even the Antichrist himself, or the man of lawlessness, as he's referred to in 2 Thessalonians 2. So this is someone who's coming with deception, trying to look like Jesus, some kind of religious deception of sorts. Now, the horseman here, and here's how we know that this is not Jesus, okay? So the horseman here had a bow, and I apologize, that's the one thing in this image, I don't know where, maybe he's got it over his shoulder or something, I don't know. But let's pretend he's holding a bow. It's there somewhere, okay? So this rider had a bow, a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. Now, this description does not match up with the real Jesus, in Revelation 19. He's thinking about an elf, you know, when he sees, he's, you know, Santa's reading to the kids like, you're not Santa. You sit on a throne of lies. It's like, so elf knows like, okay, this is not the real Santa. Yeah, he's got the red suit. He's got the beard, but you know, but it's like, oh, he's a fake. You know, it's like, and all the kids are going nuts. And oh, I just love that. So kind of like that here. It's like, okay, this person looks like Jesus, but it's not the real Jesus. And the reason we know that is because in Revelation 19, Jesus is armed with a sharp sword and an iron rod. He doesn't have a bow. And listen to this, he already had many royal crowns or diadems on his head. He wasn't given a crown, he already had them, and he had many, okay? And he has the armies of heaven following him. This guy's by himself, and he had to have a crown given to him, and all he had was a bow. It's like, so this is not the real Jesus. He's a fake, okay? Now listen to this. The bow is a symbol of war and conquering, but notice that no arrows are mentioned. This could be part of the deception of the rider, bringing a threat of war with his bow, but with no arrows to fire, like a Cold War of sorts, okay? So he's got that threat that he's got power, but then he doesn't really have much to show for it, okay? So the absence of arrows could also imply that this victory is a bloodless one, a peace won by covenant and agreement, not by war. Okay, so that could be another interpretation of this. So this rider brings great hopes for peace, but it is a false peace, one that will not last, as we will see with the second horseman. Only Jesus can bring true and lasting peace. And for those in our society today, no matter what side you're on, you're thinking our current government is going to solve all of our problems, or you're hoping that somebody else comes back and takes over, whatever, guess what? It's only Jesus that's going to bring us lasting peace. We have to remember that. And there's going to be many fake Christ leaders coming to deceive the world. It could be happening right now. The horseman was given a crown. Now, this is interesting. Let's compare this. Whereas Jesus had many royal crowns or diadems, and diadema is the Greek word that's used. Okay, so in Revelation 19, diadema, D-I-A-D-E-M-A, diadems, it was like a band that went around the head, and Jesus had many of those. So it was specifically a crown of royalty. That's the type of crown that Jesus had. This rider's crown is a wreath-style victor's crown, or as the Greek word would be, Stephanos. Stephanos is what's used, S-T-E-P-H-A-N-O-S. So that type of crown, a victor's type crown, was one that was given to a winning athlete or a military conqueror, okay? Indicating that he will be given victory and has authority. Now, the key phrase is given to him, given to him. This deceiving horseman has no authority or victory except that which is given to him. The Lamb is truly in control and limits authority as he wishes. Satan can only do what God allows him to do and nothing more. Now, the phrase conquering and to conquer indicates that the goal of this rider is to rule over others by conquest. And as is evidenced later in Revelation, these are descriptive details that are related to the beast, which hopefully we'll make it into that. Okay, so that's the first horseman. That was a big one. One of the more intense detailed ones. Let's move on. Okay, so Revelation 6, 3 through 4. Here comes the second one. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that people should slay one another, and he was given a great sword. So let's look at this. So now the Lamb uses his authority to break open the second seal. This signals the second living creature, and as a review, the second living creature was like an ox or a sacrifice. Some versions say like a calf. So this is the creature that kind of represents that livestock animal which would be used as a sacrifice. And it's interesting that this is paired with this rider when people are dying or being sacrificed. Okay, so the command is once again, come or go forth. So out comes the second horseman. This time the horse is bright red or fiery red, as some translations say. This most likely symbolizes war and bloodshed. The hopes of peace from the first horseman will not last. They will not last. So the second rider was, listen to this, was permitted to take peace from the earth so that people should slay one another. And he was given a great sword. Once again, we see that the Lamb is the one who is truly in control and limits authority, as the rider was permitted to take peace and was given a great sword. Okay? So this horseman can only do what Jesus allows him to do. Notice that the rider on the red horse, and this is interesting, notice that the rider on the red horse did not make or bring war. It doesn't say that. It says all he needed to do was take peace from the earth. Once this peace is taken, men quickly rush into war and begin to slay one another. Peace between men and among nations is a gift from God. We need to remember that. Peace between men and among nations is a gift from God. It is not the natural state of relations between men. In fact, I have already noticed a rise in anger and hate in the atmosphere of this land. And some of you have probably noticed it too. On the media, it seems like people are just so angry, so filled with hate. I've seen it on the sidewalk on Wednesdays in front of the abortion mill. Much more. I've been going regularly for 2 years, and within the last 3 to 4 months, people just are much more angry, much more vile, filled with hate. You can see it. Even yesterday, as three of us here were on the bridge, and there was a huge supporting group of people that wanted to stand up for freedom, probably close to 100, I would say, and especially with the people coming and going. On the other side, as we were being opposed by Antifa, there was maybe about 11. You won't find that covered very well in the news, by the way. And I think the most that was over there were 15, but I think at least two of them were like news reporters. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, all I heard from the other side, it was a lot of angry yelling. It was a lot of F-bombs being dropped. It was a lot of fingers. Just hate and anger, you know, is what I saw. And it was sad. That's what we're going to see. Perhaps even more intense than now, once that second rider is released. And once again, I want to tell you guys, I don't have all the answers. I mean, these things could be happening right now to a degree. Maybe they haven't happened in the severity that they will be happening. It's no one really knows for sure. But I mean, these are the signs that we need to be watching out for. From the earth. Okay, so that phrase, from the earth, suggests that this horseman's influence will be felt worldwide. Okay. A great sword is symbolic of authority to put to death. We see that in Romans 13:4. Whoever bears the sword has that authority to put someone to death. Just like today, police officers are given guns, and they have that authority to use deadly force if they need to. Okay. Again, the sword was given to the rider. This proves what heaven authorizes, earth executes. Okay. All right, next horseman. Anybody getting scared yet? Don't be. There will be. I will encourage you at the end, trust me. Okay, third horseman. Here we go, verses 5 through 6. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a black horse. And its rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and wine." So here, the Lamb exercises his authority again when he opened the third seal. This signals the third living creature, and as a review, this one was like a man. The third living creature was like a man, representing the frailty of humanity. We're frail creatures. We need to eat. We need to drink water, right, to survive. All right, so, and he says, this third living creature says, "Come," or "go forth." So now comes the third horseman. "Behold, a black horse." The black horse is symbolic of famine, representing the next condition about to be let loose on the earth. Famine and hyperinflation nearly always come with wars. We've seen that in the past, which cause supply line shortages, including food, and a spike in the cost of living. How many of you have seen some headlines in these coming days? Gas prices, I just read another one, is at an all-time high as of today, said September of 2014, okay? So gas has gone up. Food's going up in the grocery stores. We've already probably seen that. I've seen pictures of bare shelves in other parts of the country, like Walgreens in New York City. There's been people warning, yep, supply line shortages are going to be cut. We've seen the pictures of the ships off the coast of California that can't even unload their stuff. And I'm telling you guys that this is going to be a difficult winter. And as your pastor who cares about you guys, I'd really encourage you to start, if you haven't yet, start making a plan to be ready to not get what you want to get when you go to the grocery stores. Whether or not this current situation in our country is tied to this horse, once again, I don't know. But I just know it's going to be really bad, especially when this third horseman is released. And we're going to take a look at that, at how bad it's going to get. The third rider had a pair of scales, or some translations say like a balance scale, okay, in his hand. So these scales, and he's actually holding it. You can see right there, he's got the scales there. So these scales symbolize the need to carefully measure and ration food, typically only in a severe famine. Okay, so that's what these scales are used for. This speaks of a time of scarcity leading to rationing and food lines. That's what it represents. And I even just saw a clip of our governor. I need to look into this a little bit more, but he said that those who are not vaccinated may be rationed in their health care. And that was a shocking statement from Governor Burgum. I need to look into that more to see what that actually means. But that was the statement that he made. If you're not vaccinated, you're a high risk, and your health care may be rationed. Interesting. The voice in the midst of the four living creatures is previously identified as the Lamb, and that's in Revelation 5:6. The voice declares the condition of the earth. Again, heaven is actively involved in the events with the seals. So the Lamb limits authority here when he says, do not harm. Okay, so there's another limitation. Okay, you can do this, but you can't do that. Do not harm. The third horseman, like the others, must stay within the boundaries that Jesus gives him. And that gives me comfort. Like, okay, Jesus is limiting and allowing as he sees fit. All right, now this phrase, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius. The Greek word here for quart is chonix, which is a day's dry measure of grain, almost equal to one quart. Now this is just enough wheat for one person to live on for one day. So that's how much this is. So that's what this would have been known as. Okay, this is one day's worth of food for one person, okay? Now, a denarius was a day's wage for a laborer. So this means that it will cost one day's worth of working wages to pay for enough food to live for one day for one person. That's how expensive it's going to be, just to live. You will have to work all day long just to buy enough food for yourself, okay? So some sources estimate that these prices are about 12 times higher than normal. That's some intense inflation. Now, notice it does say one can get three quarts of barley for that price, but it's less nutritious and less desirable, usually fed to animals or used for porridge, you know, is what that barley is. So it's like, okay, you've got a day's wages that you can feed your animals with or maybe even a small family, okay? But it's not going to be as good as the wheat. So this is actually similar to food rationing that's mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 16. Also talks about food rationing, Ezekiel 4, 16. Do not harm the oil and wine. This was the one limitation of the third horseman. Now think about this. Even, and we've seen this in the past, even in wars and famines, the rich and the famous seem to escape the worst. So oil and wine in the Bible speak of luxury, or luxurious living. So while millions of the middle class and poor can barely afford the basics, like food and fuel, the rich will still have luxuries available to them during the famine. And it's coming. Once again, I don't know how soon. Maybe it's not going to be for 20 years like this particular one, but we are facing a crisis in our nation right now. All right, last one, Revelation 6, verses 7 through 8. Now the Lamb uses, I'll read the passage and then we'll, okay. So when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death. And Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth. Now the Lamb uses his authority to break open the fourth seal. This signals the fourth living creature, who was like an eagle, as a reminder, which is representing divinity or God's divinity. Okay, so he rules supreme over all. The command, once again, is come or go forth. So out comes the fourth horseman. Behold, a pale horse, or some versions say a pale greenish gray. So this color would actually be pretty accurate for what that pale would actually mean. Now this color, pale, is used in Scripture to convey anguish and dread. As in Jeremiah, you can look it up if you want later, as in Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 5 through 6, it says, "We have heard a cry of panic, of terror, and no peace. Why has every face turned pale?" Okay, this is that same color. So pale, people are in great anguish and dread. The rider's name was Death, and Hades followed after him. Now, this is an interesting fact about this horseman. He is the only horseman who is given a name, Death, perhaps because he is the deadliest of the four horsemen. This rider will kill a fourth of the earth, and then Hades, or as in Hebrew it says, Sheol, will swallow up those he kills. So that word is interpreted to the grave, okay? So they die, and they get swallowed up by the grave. In today's estimate, that would be about 2 billion people who will be killed. 2 billion. That's a fourth of the world today. And this number, to put in perspective, is far more than all those who have died in all wars in world history combined, okay? Which, as some estimates calculate, is anywhere between 150 million and 1 billion. So that's like the number of people that have died in every single war throughout all of history. This will be 2 billion will die. They were given authority, yet again, Jesus is in complete control. Jesus is in complete control. Though literally all hell breaks loose on earth as this horseman, this fourth horseman, comes, the Lamb limits his authority. Jesus is the one holding the scroll and breaking the seals. To kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth. We saw people dying by the sword with the second seal, and famine with the third seal, but now pestilence and wild beasts are added to the mix. This is not the first time that these four causes of death are mentioned together: sword, famine, pestilence, and wild beasts. If you look up Jeremiah chapter 15, verses 2 through 3, and Ezekiel 5, verse 17, and Ezekiel 4, verse 21, those have similar descriptions of God's judgment with those four ways of dying. So once again, that's Jeremiah 15, 2 through 3, Ezekiel 5, 17, and Ezekiel 14, verse 21. So once this fourth horseman comes out, 25% of the earth's population will die from wars and fighting with one another, from food starvation, from devastating disease, and from animal attacks. And isn't it interesting that we have a pandemic going around the world today? So to wrap it all up, I am going to encourage you guys. I know this is very, very intense, very deep. It's Scripture. This is what God says. The fact that there are four horsemen is significant. Okay, so the number four seems to have a worldwide implication, as Revelation 7:1 mentions the four corners of the earth and three main directions. We've got north, east, south, west. So the fact that there are four horsemen indicates this will be worldwide, at least to some degree. An important point to realize is that once each seal is opened, there's no mention of it being closed again. It remains open. So in other words, each seal is added to the seals previously opened and taking their toll. And they all greatly intensify as the end of the world draws near. So the four horsemen that come with these first four seals seem to closely match what Jesus warned about in Matthew 24, 3 through 8. So let's look at the words of our Lord here in Matthew 24. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray." So that's like that first horseman, right? Pretending to be Jesus. He's a deceiver. And then in verse 6 of Matthew 24, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars." Well, there comes the second horseman, okay? "See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet." Anybody hear about rumors of wars with China and Taiwan and things like that? It's happening. Yes, things like this have happened in the past, but to me it's remarkable the combination of how they're happening together. "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains." This is nothing compared to what's really going to be coming. And I do want to note, in the parallel gospel passage in Luke, the word pestilences, it is mentioned alongside famines. And that's in Luke 21, verse 11. So pestilence is also talked about. So let us be awake and alert in these days, Christians, and let us not fear. Remember that Jesus promised, "I am with you always to the end of the age," Matthew 28, verse 20. And also find comfort in the fact that the Lamb is in complete control. The big idea, once again, the Lamb limits authority. Let's pray. We'll close with one song. Father, we thank you so much for this time. Thank you that you are in control, that you are on the throne, that you're the one who allows people to rise up. You're the one who takes people out of position of authority. So, Lord, we just pray that we would trust you in these days. Just give us wisdom, give us understanding. Help us to be at peace, knowing that you are with us to the end of the age. Help us to be alert. Help us to be wise. Give us discernment in these days if we are entering into the end times, which we very well could be. So we just look to you for guidance, for wisdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.